Hi, and welcome to another podcast in the embryology series. This ties in with the embryology of the gut, the development of the alimentary tract in utero lecture. My name's Sam Webster. As usual, I've got a cup of tea on the go, so excuse me if you hear me slurping every now and then. But I'm going to work through the lecture, which if you're a Swansea medical student, you'll probably have a copy of. You'll be able to get hold of on Blackboard. And let's see how we go. Okay, so in this lecture, we're going to talk about how the gut forms, how the gut tube forms, and how the parts of the gut form, how the associated organs form, and so on and so on. And we'll work our way down from the esophagus. We'll avoid the oral cavity because that comes into head and neck development, really. We'll start from the esophagus and we'll work our way all the way down to the anus bit by bit. And if you remember from the last lecture, the first 18 days of embryology, by the end of week three, by the around 18 days, we got to the point where we were starting to talk about gastrulation. And we discussed how the two-layered embryo, the layers of the epiblast and the hyperblast, the bilaminar embryonic disc, becomes a trilaminar embryonic disc in the human, how it goes from two layers to three layers. And this is pretty much where the development of the gut begins. So you need to remember gastrulation. You remember the gastrulation is the start of morphogenesis. So we have this sheet of cells, or these two sheets of cells, and we start to see some shape form as we see the formation of the primitive streak extending in the epiblast. And with the primitive streak, we start to see that the embryo does have a left and a right, and a head end and a tail end, and a dorsal and ventral and so on. So the cells have positional information. They have these axes by which they know where they are, and they know what to do next. And this relates to the formation of the gut. So those three germ layers then form from gastrulation, going to go on and form all the cells of the embryo and differentiate into all the embryonic tissues and organs. The cells of the epiblast migrate downwards through the primitive streak, through the primitive groove, and displace the cells beneath the hyperblast cells. So the cells from the epiblast go on to form the three layers, the ectoderm, the mesoderm, and the endoderm. And hopefully you'll remember that the endoderm goes on to form the epithelia of the respiratory and gastrointestinal passages, and it goes on to form the glandular cells of the associated organs of the GI tract, like the liver and the pancreas and so on. So if we remember our three layers, ectoderm, mesoderm, endoderm being lowermost, as it were, furthest from the epiblast, the cells that have migrated through the primitive streak. We need to be thinking about these cells and what they're going to do next to form the gut. So how do we go from the flat endodermal sheet to a tubular gut? And naturally, this is rather difficult to describe without looking at any images, so it's worth looking at your textbook or the presentation here. But essentially, we have a flat sheet then, which must form a tube. And the lateral edges of this flat sheet start to fold over, start to curl over. So left and right sides of this flat sheet start to curl over. And the head and the tail end also start to curl over. And you'll remember that beneath this layer is the yolk sac. We showed how the yolk sac forms in that first 18 days of embryology lecture. So some of the yolk sac starts to get pulled up and drawn in as the edges and the caudal and cephalic, the tail and the head ends, that is, start to curl over. And as all this draws together and curls and folds, we start to get a tube. So the gut tube then is partly formed by the yolk sac. So the endoderm of the yolk sac and of this endodermal layer becomes the lining of the gut tube. It's a lot of folding and so on and so on. And this occurs pretty much within week four. And during this process, we can see the yolk sac getting smaller and smaller and flattened until around 30 days. It's not so easy to see. Okay, so we have our primitive gut. We have a gut tube. Another important concept then is that the gut tube, imagine it running along the midline of the developing embryo. The tube is tethered to the dorsal surface of the embryo, becomes tethered by, let's say, a sheet of connective tissue, the dorsal mesentery. And this connective tissue continues across the gut tube. It continues ventrally as the ventral mesentery. And these are going to be very important when we relate this to adult structures. And it's also important to discussing where structures form. The gut tube then is contained within the embryo, and it begins at the stomatium, the primordial mouth, and it passes to the proctodium, the anal pit. Still a closed tube at this point, but it's passing across the embryo. And it's also attached then to the yolk sac, if you remember how it formed, at the yolk stalk. And part of the yolk sac, the allantois, which we'll talk about probably towards the end of this lecture, comes from the yolk sac. Importantly then, we consider the gut tube to be divided into three regions: the foregut, the midgut, and the hindgut. Different structures then arise in the foregut, in the midgut, and the hindgut. And this is important to helping you with your anatomy, helping you remember where structures are, what their blood supply is, and so on and so on. Because the foregut, which passes from the stomatium, the primitive mouth, down to almost the point at which the gut is connected to the yolk sac, then the midgut is kind of the mid part where this primitive gut tube is still connected to the yolk sac, and the hindgut then is the remaining part beyond that, after the connection to the yolk sac, down to the proctodium, the future anal pit. And each part of the gut, the foregut, the midgut, and the hindgut, originally has its own separate artery as the blood, the circulatory system starts to develop. And as the parts of the foregut develop, they take this blood supply with them. Okay, let's start with the foregut then. So the foregut will go on to form the primordial pharynx, so the structures of the oral cavity, tongue, tonsils, salivary glands, part of the upper respiratory system, part of the lower respiratory system as well. So the respiratory system is going to bud from and form from the foregut, talking about the lungs and what have you here. From the foregut also forms the esophagus and the stomach, the duodenum, the liver, and the biliary apparatus, and the pancreas. And of course the liver and the biliary apparatus and the pancreas are around the level of the duodenum. The midgut then, most of the small intestine, including a large part of the duodenum, forms from the midgut. The cecum, the appendix, the ascending colon, and about two-thirds of the right side of the transverse colon all form from the midgut. From the hindgut forms then the remaining left part of the transverse colon, the descending colon, the sigmoid colon, the rectum, the superior part of the anal canal, and also the epithelium of the urinary bladder and the urethra form from the hindgut